website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We look forward to, with anticipation, your call, your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. And lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue each and every day. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so not based on some philosophical rhetoric, a denominational dogma, or political speak. We base the conversation and the issue discussion on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. It is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word that we stand on. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, John 8:31-32, made a profound statement to his disciples. If you continue in my word, that is, you constantly stay in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. The word indeed means truly, surely, absolutely. And ye, speaking of his disciples, those that follow Jesus, and ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. You've heard a lot of people misquote that verse, saying, the truth shall make you free. Yes, what truth? It is the truth of the Word of God that will make us free. Not the bifurcation of truth as heard on the Communist Network News or other networks today. It is the truth of the Word of God. Jesus Christ himself in John 14:6 says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, the statement is made that is a declaratory statement about truth. It says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God that endures forever, according to Psalms 117:2. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand where truth comes from, and it's truth of the Word of God. I pray that we will understand that when we want answers, we go to the Word of God. When we're looking for to find an answer of what's happening in the world today, we look at the Word of God. When we wonder what's happening in Israel and asking the question, will Israel win the war? Look at the Scripture. It is the truth book. God's already given us, from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, he's already given us the answers to all the questions that many people are asking today. What will happen to America? What will happen in Israel? Will Israel be wiped out? Is Israel on the right track? Should Israel continue with its battle for its own safety and for its own freedom? I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that the need today is to stand on the Word of God. It is something that multitudes fail to realize. Because we're looking at the Scripture, to look at the Scripture in Proverbs 29:2, it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I believe we're in a state of mourning, ladies and gentlemen. I believe we're in a state of mourning in relationship to America and where we stand. You find in Proverbs 14:34, the Scripture says, righteousness exalteth, builds up, lifts up, glorifies a nation. But sin is a reproach, that is a dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people. And we're finding that true today. And most of it, ladies and gentlemen, is built on the basis that the average American, the average citizen, average person in America does not truly understand what we have in America, does not truly understand that America needs to be first from the standpoint of our priorities, civic government, civil government speaking. I believe we need to defend America first. But when we look at what is happening today, we see on a global uprising in defense today, ladies and gentlemen, of the Islamic jihadist. Every American must take notice of what is happening. We're going to talk about that today, the need to defend America first. Yet we're not doing that. Joe Biden is not doing that. America is not being defended today. We're finding open borders. We're finding money going out by the hundreds of millions to secure the borders of other nations, but not for America. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. It is the truth book. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that taking place today. There's a bifurcation of truth. I've said many, many years now, a half-truth is a whole lie. And we need to understand that we're getting half-truth most of the time, on the Communist Network News and other networks. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. This is in part of what Jim DeMint said in a large article. It says, "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of the Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity," end quote. Further in the writing on that subject, he said, "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches." In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the scary thing, as I see it, it is a scary phenomenon. The latest survey shows that 55% of American millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, think that, quote, each person can determine their own version of truth. That's simply not true, if I can use a spin on the terms. But ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer and quote his statement. He says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." That's my challenge on this broadcast each and every day. We need to seek the truth, listen to it, learn it, love it, tell it, live it, and defend it even to death. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, truth, when it comes to civil government, the truth is not understood. When it comes to what is taking place in Israel and the true history of the Jewish people, ladies and gentlemen, Rashida Tlaib, AOC, and others in the U.S. House of Representatives do not understand the truth of civil government. They do not understand the truth of the fundamental foundation and the historical roots of the nation of Israel. Therefore, they're out in the streets yelling from the river to the sea that Palestine is to be free. They're talking about the destruction of Israel. We're going to be talking about that today. And we invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion. But first of all, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark. There's an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7 at the headquarters of Tools for Time. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing its full staff to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about today defending America, defending America's freedom, defending America, making America first. The major responsibility of a U.S. president is to defend America from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, our border is wide open. I'm told that we have some 7 to 8 million illegals that have come into America under the Biden administration. And prior to that, we had somewhere between 15 and 25 million illegals under what they call the DACA program. So I'm told that in America, we have very close to 50 million illegal people in America today. We have torn up. We have eviscerated, we have destroyed anything that's called border security. We've destroyed it, ladies and gentlemen. And what we're watching today is the influx of hundreds of thousands. In fact, one spokesperson just recently said upward of a million people that are considered the gotaways, that we know nothing about them. We've not gotten any documents completed on them. They've just rushed the borders, disappeared into America. And multitudes of them are in a position to harm America today. In fact, it was the Christopher Wray, the FBI director, that recently said in an interview that we can expect, hear me, we can expect a 9/11 type, a 9/11 style attack on America. Now, if the FBI is willing to make that as an open statement, you know, and I know that they know much more than they are letting on to the American public. And all of that's on the Biden administration's desk. All of that's as a result of Joe Biden deciding that he's going to make America different. He's carrying, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden is simply carrying out Barack Hussein Obama's desire to fundamentally change America. We're fundamentally changing it morally. We're fundamentally changing America ethically. We're fundamentally changing America demographically. We're fundamentally changing America with the morals, ethics, and values that America historically. We're fundamentally changing America because the majority of those, all of those coming in, know nothing about American history, know nothing about what God has done in America. They know nothing about our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, et cetera, et cetera. They simply are coming in for the freebies. Coming in for what can be gotten free. But ladies and gentlemen, the thing that is so disturbing, distressing, is the fact that we're watching the chanting in the streets. We're watching the Islamic jihadist and what is taking place with the uprising. Would you have ever believed that the younger generation of Americans would side with Hamas, Hezbollah, ISIS, Iran, Syria, and the like? Would you ever believe that? Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the evisceration of anything that would be called security in America. I'm looking at an article. By the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Perhaps you'd like to get in your 2 cents worth. What do you think about the chanting in the street, the demonstrations in the streets, the participation in the marches and demonstrations against America and against Israel in the streets, even by some of our so-called prestigious leadership in the U.S. House of Representatives? What do you think about that? Do you think they need to remain in the U.S. House of Representatives? Should they be put out of a leadership role? Should they be taken off all committees in the U.S. House of Representatives? What are your thoughts on that subject? Looking at the headline, disturbing poll on the majority of Muslim Americans. In a recent poll conducted by the surveyors found that a majority of American Muslim Americans believe, listen, the majority of Muslim Americans believe that Hamas was justified in committing terrorist attacks against Israel. This article reads, this poll about Muslims isn't a huge surprise. Numerous polls showed that the high percentage of Muslims also expressed sympathy and understanding of Osama bin Laden in 9/11 attack on America. However, the overwhelming majority of Americans, 84%, believe that Israel has the right to defend itself against Hamas. 75% of Americans do not believe that Hamas was justified in attacking Israel. But notably, this writer says, 57.5% of Muslim Americans agreed that Hamas was justified in attacking Israel as part of their struggle for a Palestinian state. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that if they claim to be an American, that is a slap in the face of anything that would be called American proper understanding of who we are as Americans. That indicates that these people, 57.5% of Muslim Americans, agreed that Hamas was justified in attacking Israel. You know the problem with that? They do not know American history. They do not know U.S. history. They do not know biblical civil government in making a statement like that. But ladies and gentlemen, that shows you what is happening in our streets today. That should give you a little example of what is taking place in our colleges and universities, this training these, if I could be so bold, airheads to be against America. Ladies and gentlemen, when it boils down to our civil government, God created civil government. We'll talk about that further in the broadcast today. We'll talk about Romans 13, of civil government that God created, why he created it, and what civil government is to do. And we're not finding the proper understanding of our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our Declaration of Independence. We're not, the citizens, average citizen in America today is not understanding the proper role of civil government and what the role the Bible plays in all that we say and do in American history. Looking at the headline, Israel is fighting on four fronts, but its leaders remain committed to ending the threat from Hamas after the October 7th invasion and massacre. Listen to the article. The Jewish state finds itself fighting on four fronts. In Gaza, the Israeli Defense Forces released footage of its methodical ground intrusion. They also continued the strategic air bombardment of Hamas infrastructure. On the northern border, the IDF continues to attack Hezbollah installations. For days now, Hezbollah and the Israeli military have traded rockets, artillery firings, and anti-tank missiles. In Syria, Israeli warplanes, etc., etc., etc. The war inside Gaza Strip will be a long and difficult war, according to Benjamin Netanyahu. He says, this is our second war for independence. We will fight for our native land. We will fight and won't back down. We will fight to on the ground, in the air, on the sea and in the air. We will eliminate the enemy on the ground and under the ground. We will fight and we'll win. It will be a victory, a good over bad, light over darkness, life over death. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, do you believe that Benjamin Netanyahu is right? Should there be a humanitarian pause, as is now being pushed for by the Biden administration and the Secretary of State? I believe not. I think not. As Benjamin Netanyahu said, there had already been a pause in the war, and it was the Hamas guerrillas, the Islamic jihadists, that broke the pause by attacking Israel. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. 0917. Love to hear your comments, dialogue, and discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, God is the one that gave Israel the land. It was God that provided the land for Israel, not man, not some organization. Yes, it was through a decision by the nation's leadership, and the nations coming together and making the decision that Israel needed to go back to its homeland. And in 1948, Israel became a nation after 2,500 years of diaspora, being scattered around the world. But God gave the land. You go back to the scripture, look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Go back to the scripture, look at the book of Genesis, Genesis 12, Genesis 15, Genesis 17. You'll find that God gave the land to the nation of Israel, to the Jewish people, not to the Arabs, not to the Islamic jihadists, but to the apple of God's eye, the Jewish people. Ladies and gentlemen, who would ever believe that this younger generation would side with Hamas and Hezbollah and ISIS, Iran? Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand it's not just the destruction of Israel, but it's also the destruction of America that we're watching take place. And ladies and gentlemen, if there's a desire to destroy the Jewish people, folded within that is a desire of the enemy to wipe out, to destroy every Christian. And I've quoted this before on the air recently. Let me quote it again. It's from Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham says, the plan for Hamas, kill every Jew and every Christian on earth. Christian evangelist Franklin Graham is warning Jews and Christians alike around the globe to be aware of the real plan of Hamas. And their plan, Hamas's plan, is to kill every Jew and every Christian on the face of the earth. This article reads, the warning comes just days after Hamas terrorists attacked innocent civilians in Israel. On social media, Franklin Graham cited a video where Hamas had written, quote, we just saw Hamas brutally murder 900 plus Israelis. That's up to about 1,500 today. And it goes on to talk about what is taking place. But here's the essence of it, ladies and gentlemen. The Middle East Research Institute in 2022 shows what is being claimed. Quote, when we speak about the army of Jerusalem and the battle of the promise of the hereafter, we're not talking about liberating our land alone, but we believe in what our prophet Muhammad said. That's what the Islamics are saying. And they go on to say that supposedly the prophet Muhammad said that it was the gift from Allah for all of the globe. And he concluded that it was some 510 million square kilometers of the planet Earth that needs to be taken over by the Islamics. And ladies and gentlemen, so many of them have that same mindset today, that the responsibility of the Islamic jihadists is to kill every Jew and every Christian and dominate the globe with Islam. And that is a horrific thought, ladies and gentlemen. So if we're talking about Islam, we're talking about the Islamic jihadists, we're talking about the Hamas and Hezbollah. What do they believe in? What are they doing? What have we just witnessed in the nation of Israel and what they've done there? The Islamic jihadists think nothing about the slaughter of babies, cutting off heads. The Islamic jihadists, ladies and gentlemen, think nothing about plucking out the eyes of the Jewish men. In fact, there's articles out there that substantiate that one family, Jewish family, traumatized for life, when the Islamic jihadists came in and cut off the hands and the feet of the husband in the home and strapped him down on the floor and then plucked his eyeballs out. Ladies and gentlemen, that's barbaric. That's inhumane. That is absolutely a murderous jihadist mindset. And ladies and gentlemen, the cutting off of hands and the slitting of the throats of the Jewish people, some can't even ponder it, can't even fathom it. Here's a headline, knife-wielding attacker shouts, Allah Akbar, and kills teacher in a French school amid Hamas-Israel war. The article reads, a Chechen immigrant on France's extremist watch list stabbed a teacher to death Friday morning and wounded two others in a suspected terror attack that the country's president called an assassination. And it goes on to talk about what is taking place, the stabbings in France, ladies and gentlemen, in Europe. We're watching nation after nation in Europe become Islamically controlled. Major portions of Europe today, police officers won't even go into, simply because of the Islamic jihadist control of the streets and the places of business. We're witnessing today the uprising of this. Listen, call it whatever you like. Describe it however you want. But we're witnessing, listen, just watch the around the globe, the hundreds of thousands of young airheads in the streets demanding that Israel be put down, that Israel be wiped out, that Israel not be given the opportunity to have a homeland, but the Palestinians should survive. Ladies and gentlemen, number one, there's no such thing as an ethnic group called Palestinians. That is simply untrue historically, fundamentally, and foundationally. That is a statement that is untrue. No such thing. But yet we have those in America and those around the globe, primarily, ladies and gentlemen, the millennial age group, they age group 18 to 35 years of age, that same age group that's chanting in the streets, demanding that Israel be destroyed. Here's an article. Hamas burned Israeli baby in an oven and tore apart pregnant women. Emergency workers reveal. I'll read just blurbs of this. It's about five pages of grotesque information. In horrifying twist reminiscent to the Holocaust, first responder reveals that an Israeli baby was burned in a kitchen oven by terrorists during the invasion in October. It's from World Israel News. It says an Israeli baby from one of the kibbutzes near the Gaza frontier was burned in the kitchen oven by Hamas terrorists during the invasion on October the 7th, according to a first responder. Dozens of Israeli murderers murdered by Gaza terrorists were torched either before or after they died. The article further reads, listen, the burnt remains of an infant was found to have telltale marks of being pressed against a heating element, signaling that the child had been put into an oven. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's not horrific, nothing is. But I'm trying to give you a picture of the contrast. Here we are finding on Harvard University campus, Columbia University campus, and the university campuses across the nation and around the world, and in public forums and in public buildings, governmental buildings, governmental, if you please, vestibules and front areas, covered with demonstrators, young airheads demanding that Israel be punished for defending themselves, demanding that the Hamas and Hezbollah and ISIS jihadist terrorists be dominant and be given right and reign to control and continue to destroy. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that the Islamic jihadists not only slaughter babies and cutting off the heads, plucking out the eyes of the Jewish people while they're still alive, cutting off the heads and slitting the throats of Jewish people, burning babies in the ovens, but blowing up homes, killing entire families? Ladies and gentlemen, this goes back to the biblical reference. In Genesis, the 16th chapter, it tells us in verses 10 and following that Islam would be a wild man. His hand would be upon every nation and hated of all people. We're witnessing that taking place today, ladies and gentlemen. And so therefore, we need to understand the major problem that we're seeing in America and around the world is the lack of knowledge of what the Bible says about the Jewish people and what is going to take place in the last days. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have the top of the hour news. Right after the news, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Just shy of a month since the start of the Israel-Hamas war, Israel is pressing its offensive, cutting the Gaza Strip in half and expected to enter Gaza City within 48 hours. New polls show President Biden is trailing Donald Trump in five states that could decide the 2024 election. Oil prices have been on the rise on world markets this morning after Russia and the Saudis reaffirmed their commitment to limiting oil output right through the end of the year. Former President Trump has taken the witness stand in New York City. He's testifying at his civil fraud trial, the former president accusing the presiding judge of being biased against him. Stocks modestly higher on Wall Street. The Dow is up about 33 points. The NASDAQ Composite Index ahead 30, and the S&P is trading 5 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Are you serving the Lord in any capacity in ministry? Conservative Theological University would like you to call today. CTU now offers partial grant scholarships for new students. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info for the admission staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for admissions info for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about defending America first, taking a stand for America first, not taking a stand for the Islamic jihadists, not taking a stand for those that supposedly need a homeland and are rushing our borders and coming in by the millions. Our president, ladies and gentlemen, is charged with one major thing in our Constitution, that is defending of the nation's borders. He's not done that. Very frankly, I think he needs to be tried for treason, selling America out to the Chinese, selling America out to Russia and to Iran and other places. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we're witnessing and watching the demise of America at the hands of the Barack Hussein Obama carrying out the third term through Joe Biden administration. But we're talking about today with the focus on what is happening with the Islamic jihadist. Islamic jihadist, ladies and gentlemen, that on October the 7th made a determination that they were going to attack Israel. And very frankly, I think it was a poor choice. They're not understanding. Of course, they're not understanding biblical prophecy, the understanding of what God is doing. In fact, God's word in Zechariah, the 12th chapter, and I'll paraphrase, said that in the last days, all the nations would attempt to destroy Israel, but God would destroy every nation that tries to destroy Israel. The 12th chapter of Genesis, the Bible says that every nation that blesses Israel would be blessed of God. Every nation that curses Israel be cursed of God. I'd be petrified if I were in the position of Blinken, the Secretary of State, or Joe Biden, or into the Biden cabal and what they're doing. They're trying to play both ends against the middle. They're making a front to America as though they're for Israel, standing with Israel, and at the same time negotiating and paying Hezbollah, Hamas, Syrians, and those that are against Israel. Now you tell me how that is understanding American history and the understanding of American civil government. It's not. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, know this also, in the last days perilous times shall come, that men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that do good, traitors, heady, high-minded, etc., etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, it is sad today to find out what is happening, and it's because so many do not understand, do not know the written, revealed, inspired, infallible inerrant word of God. Some of you may remember the name Hal Lindsey. Back in the 60s and 70s, Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth, I understand sold about 35 million copies. 35 million copies. Hal Lindsey is now 93 years old. I'm looking at an article by Hal Lindsey. Biblical prophetic prophecy teacher Hal Lindsey blast ancient game in Israel war. Christian evangelist Hal Lindsey is hammering outright lying in connection with the way Jews are being vilified in the ongoing conflict between Israel and the Islamic terrorist of Hamas. Quote, the Bible repeatedly condemns lying, especially lies meant to harm others. 2 Timothy 3:3-4. Talks about humanity becoming involved, irrevocably involved in malicious gossip, without self-control, brutal, haters, treacherous, high-minded. Verses of this chapter say it is, will get worse and worse in the last days. That's the text I just read to you. That's bad news for the Jewish people, because for centuries they have already suffered as victims of malicious gossip. That's the kind of lying meant to harm and to destroy. People blame Jews for the wars and the economic downturns. The losers of wars made Jews their scapegoats, blaming them for selling secrets and other traitorous activities. Anti-capitalists often blame Jews for the rise of capitalism, but just as often capitalists blame Jews for the rise of socialism. The 93-year-old biblical prophetic teacher Hal Lindsey says he could go on and on listing the things for which Jews have been blamed, including the bubonic plague, earthquakes, floods, and all kinds of natural disasters. Hating Jews goes back further than the word Jew would be mentioned. In ancient times, the Hebrews were hated because they refused to adopt pagan religions or adopt their own beliefs to those that were captors or conquerors. It's hard to adapt belief in the one true God to the belief in the pantheon of gods. He indicates the propensity, listen, this is the bottom line. Hal Lindsey indicates the propensity to blame Jews for all manner of evil led to the Holocaust, but it did not stop there. It's alive and well even today. And ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have stated it any better. We're watching the replay. Let me just give you a little loose-knit history lesson. What we see taking place today is a replay of about 1939 and following, 36, 37, 38, 39 and following, with Adolf Hitler getting the German people to believe that the Jewish people were bad, that the Jewish people were disease spreaders, that the Jewish people were greedy and out to take their property, et cetera, et cetera. So that when the trains started picking up the Jewish people to hold them off to the incinerators and the concentration camps, the German people applauded, believing that they were ridding themselves of a bad element in society. We're watching the replay of that historic background even today. We're watching the stage being set, the minds being destroyed, and the perversion of reality taking place in relationship to what is happening with Islamic jihadists and the Jewish people and the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. What is your bent? What is your take? What is your insight as to what we're talking about? Do you believe that there should be a humanitarian pause in the battle for freedom and the battle for life in Israel? Do you believe that the Israeli government, the Israeli Defense Force, the IDF, do you believe they should just pull the horns in and stop trying to destroy the enemy? Do you believe that would settle anything for now or in the future for the nation of Israel? That's been the ongoing question since Israel became a nation. You realize that immediately after Israel became a nation in 1948, there was an all-out war. Every neighbor on every side of Israel tried to destroy Israel, and God enabled Israel to survive. What took place on October the 7th and the aftermath of that was the worst event for 50 years for the nation of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that gives you an understanding of what's happening. Calls for violence against Jews rock D.C. amid massive pro-Palestinian protest. This article, dated November the 4th, reads this. Tens of thousands of protesters gathered in Washington, D.C. for a protest against Israel's war to eliminate Hamas on Saturday, just blocks from the White House. Numerous anti-Israel activist organizations, listen, including Code Pink, National Student for Justice in Palestine, organized the so-called National March on Washington to free Palestine. The huge crowd chanted slogans, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free," a phrase which is often interpreted to be an explicit call for the erasure of Israel and its people, according to the American Jewish Committee, end quote. It's about a five-page article, but it is sad to read and realize, ladies and gentlemen, that it's not just in Washington, D.C. It's not just in New York City. It's not just at Columbia University. It's not just at Harvard University, but it's in every city, including Jacksonville, Florida, where we've seen the uprising. In fact, in Jacksonville, where there was a resolution by the city council, a resolution to stand with Israel. Ron Salem, the president of the city council for Jacksonville, Florida, refused to sign the resolution. Refused to sign it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the perversion of history because of a lack of knowledge of history. 90% of those, 99% perhaps, of those that are demonstrating, marching in the streets, not just in America, but around the world, but primarily in America, do not understand American history, do not understand what we have in our Constitution, do not understand a constitutional republic, do not understand what God has given us as a free nation. We're watching it being eviscerated, and if we allow the demonstrations in the streets to continue, we're watching an uprising of a civil revolution in the United States of America, being promulgated by the socialist Marxist media and the Biden administration. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. From the Islamic jihadist standpoint, they're looking forward to their Messiah. They call it the 12th Imam or the hidden Imam, that in their perverted theology, will not hate to even use the term theology, theos, God, ology, the study of. It's not the study of our God, But in their theological bent, they believe that the only way their 12th Imam will come out of hiding, the hidden Imam, will be when the whole world is in chaos, calamity, and confusion. And then the hidden Imam will come forth and will save the world and bring the world into submission to Islam. In fact, their perverted thinking in that says that the Christian's Messiah will return and will join hands with the Islamic 12th Imam, their Messiah, and will join, Jesus will, in their thinking, join hands with their Imam and bring the help, bring the world to submit to Islam. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lie. It shall not happen. Just as it's a lie for Islam to believe that if they murder a Jew, or if they murder a Christian, or if they murder any non-Muslim, that they will have, and if they get killed in that process, they become martyrs, and as a martyr, they will inherit 72 virgins in paradise. It is sad. Let me read you a brief article, then we'll take our caller. The article says, this is one, a man used the telephone in one of the Jewish homes where he'd killed the whole family to call his mother, an Islamic jihadist, on a Jewish telephone in a Jewish home after slaughtering the family. Said, Mom, you would be so proud of me. I killed 10 Jews with my own hands today. His mother said, we're so proud of you, son. Wish we could be there with you, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the mindset, that's the heartbeat of the Islamic jihadist. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
I mean, it's sad to hear these stories, brother. That's why I always refuse 100% any Muslim that tell me that that's a religion of peace. Because that book itself is telling that it's okay to kill, to behead it, and to destroy. There's an interview on YouTube that I was speechless when I saw that on YouTube. And they do allow that, though, because it's coming from the enemy. You know, the enemy doesn't attack the enemy. That's the thing that they have. I saw a so-called Muslim American that he converted to Islam, and they asked him point blank, so do you agree with the beheading and killing of the infidels? And the guy just like, he had no heart. He said, well, that's what the Quran says. That's what we believe. I was like, wait a minute. This guy is supporting that genocide and beheading people who doesn't believe in their demonic possessed religion. That's insanity, brother. But those are the days that we are living. This is crazy. And it's sad to see this generation marching and protesting. All you see is the result of all those anti-American based on feelings, no facts, teacher, brainwashing a lot of people. And those are the ones marching on the streets. But they don't know what's going on in the West Bank. The West Bank is controlled by Palestinians. The Israeli people is there because they have to make sure that there's order. The West Bank is fine. You don't see the terrorists shooting from the West Bank. They're using Gaza because the Israeli government is not there. And the international groups, the UN and all those lefties, you don't hear them complaining when Hamas took control of Gaza. They didn't say a word about it. Nothing. Everything was quiet. So it's sad to say, brother, but they need to be taken care of. They need to be controlled. They need to be, you know, either arrested or they have to face justice. And I guess, you know, it's a difficult situation, but you cannot negotiate with a group of terrorists that don't see any middle ground. They just want the complete destruction of Israel. So it's a difficult situation. And as a Christian myself, a newborn Christian, we cannot expect for Israel, you know what I mean, to behave as a Christian. You know, it's a secular nation. And they do believe in the Old Testament, and they go for what the Old Testament says. And it's kind of hard to see so many people brainwash, and they don't put one and one together. They don't march against Hamas to let the people free, because the people in Gaza is the one that are being held hostage by Hamas. But you don't hear that difference. They don't hear that. And it's upsetting to see this nonsense, how the media misled and lied to the public. It's just upsetting, brother. So we have a lot of prayer to do. That's my comment. I don't know what you comment on that, brother, but
Jose, let me jump in for just a moment. One of the things that we see taking place is the result of decades of the socialist, Marxist, communist professors in our colleges and universities that's been brainwashing these kids for some 40, 50, 60 years now. We're watching the crop today, if you want to call it the crop, of the youngsters out there, the millennials, that you find mostly doing the marching and the demonstration, and it's because we've allowed the socialist, Marxist, communist professors into our colleges and universities to be the teachers of these kids. These kids are taught to hate God, to hate the home, to hate the family, to hate America, to hate the Constitutional Republic, to hate an economic system that's provided the wealth for their families that allows them to go to those colleges and universities. And this is the end result of it. We're watching the end result of 50 to 60 years of brainwashing and teaching these kids that. In fact, Jose, I'm looking at a headline that says, California University offers extra credit for students marching against Israel. Dated October the 26th, controversy erupted when a teacher at the UC Berkeley offered her students extra credits for participating in an anti-Israel activity in support of terrorism in Gaza. The University of California, Berkeley, is under fire after the school approved the instructor's plans to offer extra credit for all the students to participate in an anti-Israel march and watch. Anti-Israel documentary. It is this article.
And the sad thing, brother, is when you're trying to hit him with the fact that you just mentioned, they attack you. They call you name-calling, you are a racist, you are a homophobic and Islamophobic. They don't reason. And I thought that when you go to college, it's to exchange ideas and think by yourself. I remember when I went to college, I had a professor that she threw the question to the classroom, say, hey, how do you guys know that 2 + 2 = 4? I was like, wait, what? Yeah, how do you know that? You believe 2 + 2 = 4 because you were taught as a little kid, but you don't know for a fact if that's true or not. And I was the only one speaking, and I was like, wait a minute, where this nonsense is coming? Isn't the same thing that we see nowadays, brother? People didn't argue back in my classroom. No, it was me only, nobody else. I'm on 14, 15 students. In college, I was like, wait, that's how they brainwash happened, bro. They throw anything, and they believe that whoever is speaking is God's word or is a prophet coming from heaven. And that's the same thing that we see. You're asking, what is a woman? What is a man? They have no clue. Something so basic. So they want to ask you, they want you to bow down when they say 2 + 2 = 9. And if you argue, you are a racist, you are a narrow-minded, you are extra right. Wait a minute, 2 + 2 = 4, no 9. But those are the days that we are living, brother. Sadly, a lot of prayer to do. God bless you, brother.
Thank you. We do need to pray. Thank you, Jose. You're right on target. And to further that thought, I'm looking at the Quran, the Noble Quran, which is the most prestigious and revered Quran among the Islamics around the world. Part of the reading, if I can read a few, they call it surahs, S-U-R-A-H, rather than chapters. We call it chapter divisions. But Surah 2, that is chapter 2, we call it, 193, fight until there's no more disbelief in Allah. Surah 2, 191, kill them, all non-believers, wherever you find them, kill them, such is the recompense of the disbeliever, that is all non-Muslims. Surah 2, 216, jihad is holy fighting in Allah's cause and is ordained for every Muslim to participate. Surah 456, those who disbelieve, we shall burn them with fire, is the quote in the Quran. Surah 4101, the disbeliever, that is non-Muslims, are ever unto you an open enemy, end quote. And ladies and gentlemen, I could go on reading hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of surahs from the Quran. But the bottom line is, the Islamic jihadists see every Christian, every Jew, every non-Muslim as being an enemy that is to be slain, to be destroyed, to be killed, to be wiped off the face of the earth. And it is sad to see the nation's colleges and universities participating in that. I'm looking at another headline. U.S. colleges become the flashpoints for protest on both sides of the Israeli-Hamas war. This article reads in part, demonstrators take part in the emergency rally, Stand Up with Palestine Under Siege in Gaza, aim amid the ongoing conflict between Israel and the Palestinian Islamic group Hamas, at Harvard University, at Cambridge, Massachusetts, etc., etc. At Columbia University on Thursday, two groups of hundreds of students tensely faced each other in a dueling pro-Islam, pro-Palestinian demonstration, while university officials blocked public access to the New York City campus as safety measures, supporting of Palestinians, now many of whom wore face masks to hide their identities, held signs in a grassy area near the library reading, "Free Palestine," and "To exist is to resist." Further, this article says, amid the growing conflict, tensions between students on opposite sides of the issues have boiled over on many of the U.S. college campuses and around the world. Prager University, Dennis Prager, has this to say. The terrifying trend of anti-Semitism, anti-colonialism, and anti-West hatred and lies is growing. Nowhere is there more prevalent or more pervasive than on social media and in our nation's schools and in our nation's college campuses. Pro-Hamas students shout, "We're Hamas." They call for intifada and chant, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free," advocating for Israel to be totally wiped off the map. The article further says, not long ago, these same students shouted, these same students, if I could add a little footnote, the same airhead college professor perverted students were shouting recently, "Defund the police, no justice, no peace," while claiming that America is institutionally racist, needs to be decolonized. This article further says, this isn't sudden. It's the product of decades-long strategy. Leftist ideologies, once on the fringe, now dominate classrooms. Our children are taught to admire Marxism, racial division, and moral relativism, and hate the values and traditions foundational to the American West. Students are taught that violence is permitted, even encouraged, so long as they target the right people, of course. In that vein, Israel, the Middle East democratic beacon, and the U.S. ally, is painted as being antagonistic. The oppressor, terrorists are portrayed as freedom fighters, and infanticide, rape, and mass murder are excused if done in the name of liberation. In the aftermath of the worst act of anti-Semitic terrorism since the Holocaust, American college students demand to dismantle Israel, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is we're witnessing the erosion of the very fundamental foundations that America is built on. And the scripture is very clear in Psalms chapter 10 verse 3. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that our foundations are being eviscerated, being destroyed. It deserves every Christian, every conservative, every patriot's attention. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, what is taking place. God designed, God created civil government, and he did so. By the way, the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, has just been standing on that. Mike Johnson said, "I don't believe there's any coincidence," as Johnson said in a remark to Congress delivered minutes after he was chosen the Speaker on October the 25th. "I believe that the Bible is very clear that God ordained and allowed each one of us to be brought here for this specific moment and time. It wasn't that at all. It was a central premise of the Bible that God invented civil government." And ladies and gentlemen, that's a five-page wonderful article about our new Speaker of the House and his stand on the Word of God. He's standing on the Scripture. He's standing for Israel. He's standing on the basics of the foundation of America, how it was founded, and was founded on the Word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, unless we're careful, we'll lose our nation. We need to understand that we need to pray, seek God's face, confess our sins, and ask God to heal our land. It's God and God alone that can provide for us the safety, the security, and the preservation and protection that's needed for America. If we're not careful, we're going to be the witnesses of the final freedoms in America that we're watching being eviscerated today, under the leadership or the lack of leadership of Joe Biden and others that want to destroy America. I'm looking at a headline, and I'll read it quickly. Same rules apply. Citizen pushes to kick the Bible out of the public schools. This is right in Volusia County, ladies and gentlemen, where one individual wants the Bible kicked out of the schools. This article reads, if we're going to have some kind of protocol for books that are banned, then we must make sure that they apply. That includes the Bible. That tells you where we are as a nation. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to meeting you once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological